Well, of course, this time of the year, we traditionally think of what goes into producing our food and give thanks to God that we have, usually in our case at least, more than enough of what we need. Now, this morning, as we've been trailing over previous weeks, we're collecting cereals for the Breakfast Club at the Boulevard with Hull Youth for Christ. And cereals like this, of course, come from crops grown by farmers. Now, apparently cereal grains are grown in greater quantities and provide more food energy worldwide than any other type of crop. In their natural form, as whole grain, they're a rich source of vitamins and minerals, carbohydrates and proteins. Now, of course, many of these are then made into breakfast cereals, which help us to have strength to live during the day. And that's why the Hull Youth for Christ team on the Boulevard are keen to help provide nourishment for children in that area before school, some of whom would not otherwise get a decent breakfast, and this is something that has been proved to show that it affects learning. Well, Jesus often talked about grains and seeds that farmers plant and harvest. And we read two of his parables this morning, the growing seed and the mustard seed, in Mark chapter 4. If you want to have those parables in front of you, they're on page 1010 in the church Bibles. Now, Jesus had recently told his very famous parable, usually called the sower, the story of how the farmer sowed the same sort of seed onto different sorts of soils. And he tells us that the seeds of the farmer represent the word of God. That is God's message of the good news of his loving kingdom rule in Jesus. The different soils represent the different ways that people respond to the same message that is spoken. Some reject it. Some accept it well at the start, but it dies off. And others accept it and go on to themselves be used in serving Jesus and this same message. Well, a little later, Jesus tells his close friends another story about growing seeds. And this is to teach something important about how the kingdom of God grows. So that's the first parable, the growing seed. The message needs sharing, but only God makes it grow. Now you remember the story, it's there in verse 26. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now this is a very appropriate story for harvest time, because it reminds us that it is God's unseen hidden power that makes seeds grow and therefore provides food. It's good to think of farmers and others involved in the preparation of food, but unless God gives life to the seeds, well, they won't grow. So at harvest we can thank God that indeed he does make seeds grow and we have food to eat. Yet, of course, Jesus' story here was told to make another point. Jesus says the situation with the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on his field. Think about this, says Jesus, because this is how God works out his purposes. This is how his loving, rescuing rule develops and spreads. Now, do you remember what happens? Do you remember what the farmer does once he's sown his seed? Well, of course, the answer is nothing. He doesn't do anything to the seeds. He just lives his normal life. He sleeps and rises night and day. And yet a lot happens to the seed. It sprouts and grows. And verse 28, "The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Now this is a process that the farmer doesn't understand. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how, says Jesus. So the man doesn't understand how the seed comes to life, but it grows and then becomes full grain. From his point of view, it just seems to happen automatically, certainly without him doing anything. So there is clearly a mystery in the process of things growing. It is remarkable how it happens without human intervention. Now Jesus says that there is an important comparison with God's kingdom growing. God is the one who is growing it. Here's the most important factor in the message of Jesus becoming real for people and more people coming to be part of his church and trusting in him. Now, you know, it might have been a bit discouraging to those early Christians to realise from the parable of the sower that there would be those who would reject the message that they shared, and that not all who heard it would continue even if they started well. So Jesus tells us of this encouraging truth in order to keep us persevering. There is a hidden power at work, something that seems to work by itself, literally, automatically. There is a power at work from God for new spiritual life and growth. Just as God gives the grain harvest, so God will also give a final harvest result for his kingdom rule in the end. He is the one who makes things grow spiritually. Now, this is a tremendous reminder that we need to depend on God and trust in him to be at work. He is the one who opens hearts to the truth. He is the one who draws people to himself. Well, of course, as we read this short story, there's also a reminder in it that Christians do have a part to play, even if it is God who does the most important part, who makes the seed grow. And that is that, like the farmer, we need to sow seed. We need to sow the seed of the word of the good news. God alone makes it grow, but we need to get that seed out there into, as it were, the public realm. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So as a church, we need to sow the seed of the word in all that we do. When we meet together in services like this, we need to read God's word, teach God's word, sing songs filled with God's word, echo God's word in our prayers. And it's why we seek to provide opportunities for people who might not come to church like this to hear God's word in other ways as well. It's why we do All Stars and Superstars at school, why there's the girls' night out, the afternoon cafe services in the parish hall, Tuesday at 10. It's why we're beginning to think about a special focus running up to Easter called A Passion for Life, with different opportunities to sow the seed of the word. But of course, you might be here this morning and you're thinking about the Christian faith. You're asking questions and trying to work it out. Well, this story of Jesus reminds us that it is God who makes the message real, ultimately. The best thing, then, that you can do is to hear the message. The Apostle Paul, speaking in Romans chapter 10, says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. So expose yourself to the message. Read it. Listen to it being explained. It's one of the reasons why our sermons are now on the church website. And God can give the message life in our hearts as we do. Now, it is sometimes quite easy to get discouraged when we hear about churches in the Western world declining. Though, of course, in many parts of the world, churches are growing extremely rapidly. But it's also easy to get discouraged when we have tried to share the message of the seed of the word with people, and they don't seem to respond, or they respond negatively. Well, this story reminds us not to be discouraged. Don't judge the situation merely by what you can see at the moment. No farmer would plant his seeds and then straight away decide what his harvest is going to be like. No, remember, there's a hidden energy at work below the surface as the gospel message is made known, as it's taught, as it's shared. So we should ask ourselves, where is our confidence? It's so easy to go for gimmicks, to look for the latest fad, to see people come to believe in Jesus. But in the end, people come to faith in Jesus and churches grow as the seed of the word is sown and as we trust God to bring it to life. That is his work. As in the story, we are like farmers who need to spread the seed, but it is God's work to make it grow, and we can trust him to do that. But you know, in this story about the farmer sowing his seed, all he does is sow the seed, but then he appears at the end of the story. He appears to get involved again when at the harvest time he comes to cut down the grain with his sickle in order to gather it in for food or for sale to others. So this little story of Jesus is a reminder of the other traditional theme of harvest. You'll have noticed that it's there in the hymns that we sing, the one we've already sung. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Echoing the words of this story, of course. So at the end of time, when Jesus returns, there will be a reaping of the harvest. Some for rescue, joy, some for judgment and sorrow. But when the grain is ripe, says Jesus, at once the farmer puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So you see, in a real sense, it is Jesus who does the sowing as his people make his word known. And also it is Jesus the farmer who is going to harvest the crop that is growing as the seed of the word of the gospel is made known. The seed of the gospel, of course, is being shared all over the world, even here in Ferriby. We have the chance to hear the truth about Jesus. And one day when Jesus comes back, there will be a reaping of the harvest. Some will be harvested for life with him forever. Others will be harvested for judgment, having not listened to the seed of the word and refused the only hope of forgiveness and life that is offered through it. So Jesus' story says to us, don't be tricked into thinking that there won't be judgment. It might look like life just carries on the same. It might even seem as if God has gone away or gone to sleep, but no. At the time of God's choosing, there will be a sudden harvest. The ordinariness of life will be dramatically changed. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the story makes us ask, are we prepared for that day by trusting in Jesus now? Well, more briefly, Jesus tells another story about seeds. That's about the mustard seed. And we learn there that God starts small, but his kingdom will become very large. Verse 30, Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can nest in its shade. See, of course, the parable works by contrast. There's the mustard seed, which was proverbial for its small size, and yet it grows into a large garden plant, a plant with branches big enough for birds to rest and nest in. So here is another great encouragement. We can not only rejoice at harvest, that tiny seeds produce plants which produce food for our nourishment, but also that the beginnings of God's saving rule in Jesus might well start small, but it will grow into something very, very large. Just think about how it all began. There was just Jesus, and then just the 12. What hope was there for growth? And yet now there are millions and millions of people in God's visible church. Today, however, God's people can seem small and insignificant, perhaps particularly in the Western world. And yet we are reassured here that in the end, there will be a huge number of people who have entered God's loving kingdom by virtue of Jesus and his death and resurrection. Now, those who first heard this story might have recognised the imagery of birds nesting in the branches of a tree from parts of the Bible that they would have heard. We heard one example of that read to us from Ezekiel 31 this morning. There, birds which nest in a giant tree represent all the great nations of the world. And so we have a story that looks forward to that day, at the end, when the kingdom of God is fulfilled, when there will be all sorts of people part of that kingdom. People from every tribe and nation, every people and every language. So despite the opposition, despite the false teaching in some quarters, despite the weakness and failure of God's people, the mustard plant, which is the kingdom of God, still grows. And it will become very large indeed, and made up of all sorts of peoples from all over the world. Well, harvest is a time to give thanks. Thanks that it is God who makes things grow and provides for us. And we can give thanks too that what is true in nature is true spiritually. God's people must share the message of Jesus, but it is God who brings it to life. One day, all who have believed will be harvested for eternal life, and those who have refused it will be harvested for judgment. And what's more, we realise from the story of the mustard seed that God's kingdom might start small, but like a tiny seed, it will grow into something enormous, encompassing people of all sorts, from all different places and backgrounds. One of the most famous people of the last 500 years, certainly in terms of his influence, was surely Martin Luther. He lived in Europe at a time when many in the churches had lost sight of the good news of Jesus, the wonderful truth of God putting guilty rebels like you and me back right with himself through Jesus' death on the cross, all made real by trusting in him. The gospel had been hidden by rituals and rules and ideas not based on the Bible. But as Luther and others around him read the Bible, they rediscovered the good news, and many came to receive God's undeserved love in Jesus. Well, he wrote about what happened in one of his books, and he clearly knew and understood these parables of Jesus. He said, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friend Philip of Amsdorf. I did nothing. The word did it all." Well, you know, we can't make the seed grow, but God can, and he can bring life. Let's pray.